I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana.
The news presented by Abraham Donko. In the headlines, President Mills returns home from Abidjan after attending extraordinary ECOWAS summit in Mali. Mali suspended from sub-regional group ECOWAS. Curfew imposed on Yindi following disturbances. NPP expresses confidence in biometric registration despite technical challenges. Economic and social life returns to normal at Anyanwu, Jita and Atoko following construction of sea defense wall. And Pope Benedict meets President Raul Castro on maiden visit to Cuba.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
President Atta Mills returned home last night after attending the extraordinary session of the heads of state and government of ECOWAS in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, where the leader strongly condemned and declared the coup in Mali as unacceptable. He therefore asked the military junta to return the country to democratic rule immediately. According to the leaders, the actions of the junta is completely at odds with the provisions of the supplementary protocol on democracy and good governance of the sub-regional body and seriously undermines the painstaking gains made in the last 2 decades to entrench democratic culture and the rule of law. In his opening remarks, the ECOWAS chairman and president of Cote d'Ivoire, Alassane Ouattara, described the coup d'etat as unconstitutional act, saying the junta has automatically alienated and outlawed Mali from the regional body. He called on the military junta to relinquish power immediately to the rightful government so that the country can return to constitutional rule. Meanwhile, the West African regional body ECOWAS has suspended Mali after last week's military coup. A delegation of several ECOWAS heads of state is to go to Mali to press the coup leaders to restore democracy. Coup leaders, on the other hand, have announced details of a new constitution in a televised statement and pledged freedom of speech and movement. No suggestion was made about the previous government being restored as demanded by Mali's neighbors. The coup was led by soldiers unhappy with the way President Amadou Toumani Touré's government had been handling the Tuareg insurgency in northern Mali. Mr. Touré, a former army officer, was due to step down next month after 2 terms in office. The decision to suspend Mali was taken at an emergency meeting of ECOWAS held in Abidjan in the Ivory Coast. In another development, soldiers yesterday blocked lawmakers trying to enter the National Assembly, which had been dissolved by a junta which seized power last Thursday. After the ban, dozens of lawmakers held an extraordinary session at the Labour Exchange, the headquarters of the main trade union. During the extraordinary session, the lawmakers denounced the refusal of the soldiers to allow them to access the National Assembly. The lawmakers also condemned the assault on one of their colleagues during a rally against a junta attended by 1,000 Malians. The Northern Regional Minister Moses Mabengba says Yindi is calm after the arrest of the regent of the Abdou Gates Bolana, Abdullahi Hamdou. He said a curfew has been imposed on Patinga for peace to be sustained in the area. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, he explained that the regent of Dagbon, who is the leader of the Dagomba state, has the right to escape chiefs and not the opposing regent of the Abudus, which has generated a misunderstanding between the Andanis and the Abudus. He spoke to Kingsley Obinchere.
The end is calm, there's nothing happening now.
Can we say it's an uneasy calm?
Well, it is difficult to classify it, but what is important is that the place is calm for now.
Is it true that the Patinga Na has been arrested? Can you confirm that one for us?
That is certainly true. The man who has been arrested is the candidate who was killed by the Bolinara, the Abudu faction, or the Abudu gate in the Dagon crisis. The police have granted him bail, and we have imposed a curfew on Patina to be able to regulate the people who enter and leave the place in the night.
Why was he even arrested in the first place?
As far as my records show, the regent of Dagon gave us indication he was going to install a chief, and did install a chief. And the moments later, the opposing gate also installed a chief. The two of them were heading towards the same palace in Patinga. And so we have to take a decision on what to do next.
You mean the two gates, that is the Abudus and the Ananis, all had chiefs at the same time?
I recognize the regent of Dagon as currently the leader of the Dagomba state. He installs a chief, and the opposing gate also decides to install a chief for the same gate. And we had a decision on hand. So, but we had early on advised the Abudu gate that they cannot install a chief at that palace. The only place they could install a chief is the Dewa Palace, which is currently being occupied by the regent of Dagon. But they didn't do that. And so we couldn't allow two parallel schemers to stand. But that was just a recipe for chaos.
That was the Northern Regional Minister Moses Mabengba speaking to Kingsley Obinchre. The Deputy Chairperson in charge of operations at the National Commission for Civic Education, Augustina Akosua-Akumeni, says the aim of the political party code will not be achieved if political parties fail to disseminate the information contained in the document to the people at the grassroots level. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Madame Akumeni said politicians who do not abide by the code are not fit to be leaders.
Parties are ready to disseminate to the minutest detail the content of this code of conduct. And there are talks with the IEA and other civil society organizations to make sure that the code is made available to political parties in such a way that they can be used to educate the many followers of the party, agents of the party at polling stations, and even just ordinary party faithfuls at the grassroots. And so programs will be held or be organized by political parties, of course, with the support of the IEA and the Netherlands Institute for Multiparty Democracy, to ensure that we explain what is contained in that document. Otherwise, it will not serve any purpose to have a document which the people that are supposed to live by it don't understand.
A member of the PNC, who is also a member of the enforcement body, Mohammed Atik, said collective efforts among the political parties is crucial to ensure the effective functioning of the enforcement body.
The parties are not ready to disseminate to the minutest detail the content of this code of conduct. And there are talks with the IEA and other civil society organizations to make sure that the code is made available to political parties in such a way that they can be used to educate the many followers of the party, agents of the party at polling stations, and even just ordinary party faithfuls at the grassroots. And so programs will be held or be organized by political parties, of course, with the support of the IEA and the Netherlands Institute for Multiparty Democracy, to ensure that we explain what is contained in that document. Otherwise, it will not serve any purpose to have a document which the people that are supposed to live by it don't understand.
A member of the political party code enforcement body, Mohammed Atik, talking to Kingsley Obinchre. The Electoral Commission is asking Ghanaians not to use physical appearances to determine who is or who is not a citizen. Its public relations officer, Soviano, said the public must follow the commission's set procedures in addressing or challenging a person's nationality. She spoke in an interview with Rebecca Epe and explains why some biometric registration centers may experience long queues.
We are supposed to register where we live. Now you have a situation where you see people trooping into areas where they are not supposed to register. Now, if it's a normal situation, fine. But if we know that wherever where you're going to register is not where you are going to vote, I would advise that you just come out of the queue and then wait for your turn, so that we do not create an impression that there are long queues and you are able to analyze the queue. Certain people, though they may be qualified, don't belong to those stations.
Regarding education, for example, on the issue of challenging people who are citizens of this country, the Electoral Commission has a form designed for people to just fill out just to avoid confrontation. Do you think people are really aware of this procedure?
There are people who know the law very well. They would, for one reason or the other, they want to flout, and the security agencies are there to deal with them. Now, if you have a situation where we have told the general public time and time again that don't physically prevent anybody from registering, so that there is no need at all pulling people, trying to fight people at registration centers. When that happens, it moves away from our domain. it becomes a security issue, and then the police would come in and then deal with the situation accordingly.
On the issue of nationality, we understand that there are reports where people are being asked to speak Chi to determine their eligibility as Ghanaians. Do you think this is right?
Appearances can be deceptive. You may see somebody who doesn't look Ghanaian by our definition of who a Ghanaian is. That is quite technical. And the legal people would have to interpret who a Ghanaian is. But for us, a Ghanaian citizen should be able to not necessarily speak the language. If you do not speak the language, it doesn't mean that you may come from elsewhere. There are people who speak English at home.
Principal Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Commission, Sylvia Ano, in that interview with Rebecca Ekpe. The first phase of the biometric voter registration, which started last Saturday, is expected to end on April 2. The second phase will continue from the 4th to the 13th, with a third from 15th to April 24. The final phase will run from April 26 to May 25. The exercise is expected to capture the data of about 12 million potential electorate. The congestion at the various registration centers have been attributed to insufficient education by the EC and the National Commission for Civic Education, NCCE, on the process. It is also noted that information on the process did not go down well with the communities because most people did not know the exercise was in phases and will last for 40 days instead of 10 days as set by the EC. The NPP says despite the technical challenges facing the ongoing biometric registration, it is confident that the Electoral Commission will come out with a credible register. The party says it has no qualms against the conduct of the exercise since technical problems are normal in such exercise. The national chairman of the NPP, Jacob Echebi Lamte, told Georgia Secret that the party is only worried about reports of violent clashes and urged the security agencies to be up to the task.
With the Electoral Commission, I think they're trying. They still have a lot of problems, technical problems, but they are showing that they want to get over them and want to repair them. And their reaction time is quite quick. So we all know that nothing is perfect. So let's keep on working at it. And inshallah, all will be well on that level.
With the pilot phase and these problems, we're getting reports from other regions, minors trying to register. And are we sure that we can have a credible register?
We'll have a credible register because people out there, they can challenge if one or two minors register. It depends how many of them, of course. I mean, but I'm much more concerned now about the levels of violence and the intimidation that is beginning to come, and including the shooting of guns. Like, these are the things that are concerning me now.
What do we do collectively in this situation?
We start to make a noise. We start, all of us, to make enough noise to tell the government that they are government first, okay, and party second.
National Chairman of the NPP, Jake Obechebi Lamte, in that interview with Georgia Secret. A member of the NP for Adenta, Kuju Edulesare, has suggested to the leadership of the NDC to engage the services of a professional mediator to try and reconcile former President Rawlings and President Mills. He said the former president's influence cannot be ignored because of his vital contribution to the party. Mr. Asare told Radio Ghana's Kingsley Obinchere that a professional mediator will help conclude whether the two sides are willing to reconcile or not so that the party can advise itself.
This process at this point in time could be the last or could pass for the last attempt at doing all of these things in the name of party cohesion.
What the general secretary is saying could have come much earlier. Do you think so?
The founder is a very instrumental person in the party. All of us are where we are or are where we are because President Rawlings, he gave us that opportunity. But my reason for asking for a mediator to come through is because I'm of the view that a mediator who doesn't have any personal interest, who is coming in only to perform a professional role and be paid to perform those roles, will not be looked at once the two parties accept that, yes, this is the person we all will prefer to listen to or guide us along professional lines to ensure that we get to that point where the pre-mediation purpose period one will go to one party, speak with them, find ground on which reconciliation can be built upon, pursue that path of reconciliation. Then we will know as a party that, yes, an attempt by a professional has been made to bring us together. Unfortunately, one party is not going to be part of that reconciliation. So a report from a professional point of view will be made to the party.
The NP for Adenta Koju Eduesare. Meanwhile, lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwesi Jonah, says it will be in the best interest of the party to address the root cause of the sour relationship between former President Rawlings and President Mills. He suspects that some section of the party did not want the misunderstanding between the two leaders to be resolved.
Whatever the differences that may exist between him and maybe Nana Konedu Ajimal Rawlings on the one hand and the party, the sooner the party took measures to resolve those differences, the better it will be for everybody within that party.
We are looking at a situation where some members of the party might believe that they can go it alone, but now we seem to be seeing that there is shifting of grounds with an extension of an olive branch to him, saying that he's also needed on board and all. How do you see this overture?
The purposes are fine. It is good that somebody is trying to reach out to former President Rawlings and his family. Rather than addressing the symptoms of the disease, I think it is very, very important to go to the root causes of the disease rather than the symptoms.
A lecturer at the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwesi Jonah, talking to Kingsley Obinche. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra. The major stories. President Mills returns home from Abidjan after extraordinary ECOWAS summit in Mali. Mali suspended from sub-regional group ECOWAS. Curfew imposed on Yindi following disturbances. NPP expresses confidence on biometric registration despite technical challenges. Economic and social life returns to normal at Anyang, Njita and Atoko following construction of sea defense wall. And Pope Benedict meets President Raul Castro on maiden visit to Cuba. Please stay with us.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. Economic and social life has returned to normal in the Anyangwe, Chita and Atoko communities in the Keta municipality after the havoc caused by tidal waves more than 2 years ago. This follows government intervention to construct a sea defense wall and rehabilitate roads in the area. Yesterday, the Minister of Water Resources Works and Housing, E.T. Mensa, visited the three communities to inspect the project. Radio Ghana's Bubu Klindogo was with the minister. He later briefed Samuel Esa about the nature of the work.
About 2 years ago, the three communities, that is Jita, Anyani, and Atoko communities, were cut off as a result of the negative impact of the sea waves, and more than a kilometer of the stretch of road linking the three communities was completely taken over by the seas, and houses and buildings, including schools and churches, were all destroyed by the sea. And so it was difficult commuting from one community to another, and passengers or commuters had to join a bus. At a certain point, they had to get down to walk through the sand and the sea for about 1 kilometer to the other side to join another vehicle. Government contacted the Amadi Holdings Company to do the sea defense. And what they've done so far is to lay hard solid rocks along the shores of the sea, and that covers about 2.7 kilometers. So if you go there right now, what they've done is to put those hard rocks that they call the armor rocks on the shores of the seas. And what it's doing is preventing the sea waves from going across the road. And they have also reconstructed 2 kilometers of the road and now being protected by the sea defense.
We understand there is going to be a second phase of the project. What does this entail?
The second phase involves the construction of groins, and the groins are also sort of solid rock being laid, but this one is not along the shores, but this one it is into the sea. It's going about 80 kilometers into the sea. About 7 of them are going to be done at certain intervals. The purpose of this is that after a certain number of years, it's going to gather sand. The sand will come and cover the groins, and then it will sort of become a beach.
Who is funding these projects?
The first one costs getting $30 million is being funded by government of Ghana, but the contractors are pre-financing the project. And the second one, which is the second phase, that is the grant, is going to cost $11 million too. And my understanding is that the contractor is still going to pre-finance it.
And what was the minister's impression about the construction so far?
Mr. Itimensa was very impressed with the work done. He said it's been done in record time, and he even gave the assurance that more of such works are going to be done along the entire stretch of the coastal lines of Ghana.
That was Bubu Kinogo talking to Samuel Efa about the sea defense work along the coastal lines of Anyanwu, Jita and Atoko communities in the Keta municipality. The Minister for Water Resources, Works and Housing, Itimensa, has commended the leadership of the Ghana Institute of Engineers for its efforts to streamline the practice of engineering in the country. This effort has culminated in the passage of the Engineering Council Act. The act, when passed, will enable the country to meet many challenges it faces in the sector. Mr. Mensah said this at the 7th induction of new members into the Ghana Institution of Engineers in Accra. The minister said under the act, all foreign practitioners of engineering who come into the country to practice will be made to pass the professional examinations. This is said will bring sanity into the engineering practice. He said the government shall continue to count on their technical know-how as engineers to ensure water management for development and sustenance of life, as the theme suggested. Government will also depend on them for support to stop calamity operations. The president of the Ghana Institute of Engineers, Engineer Albert Ojiri, said the institute is poised to accelerate development to reduce the deficit in housing, electricity and water supply, road network, sanitation, health and education infrastructure. He said with a proper, effective policy planning in place, the Ghanaian engineer would lead a sustained development agenda to meet aspirations of the people. The moderator of the General Assembly of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, Right Reverend Francis Amanu, has expressed worry about the attitude of disrespect for higher office holders, describing the misconduct as unethical and unwarranted. He said the democratic right to free speech should not guarantee the use of offensive language, especially against the presidency or people serving in positions of higher office. Right Reverend Amanu was speaking at Hohwe at the induction service for Reverend Benjamin Asase as the EP Church Synod Moderator for the Central Presbytery. We bring you a news desk report.
64-year-old Reverend Benjamin Asase was commissioned into the ministry as a pastor in 1983 after graduating from the Trinity Theological Seminary at Legon. He holds a Master of Arts degree in Divinity and Theology from the Presbyterian Theological Graduate School in Seoul, South Korea. Until his appointment as the Synod Moderator, Reverend Asase was the immediate past president of the National Pastors Association and a member of the EP Church Policy Guideline Committee. He also served as district pastor at Kofodia and Pando congregations, as well as a chaplain in some of the country's educational institutions, including Kofodia Polytechnic and Pekki Training College, now College of Education. Speaking at the induction ceremony, Right Reverend Aminu urged Ghanaians to seek appropriate channels of addressing grievances against their leaders and shun the attitude of undermining and what he termed the pull him down syndrome. He also expressed concern about the rising labor unrest in the country, adding that the situation could result in serious consequences in the sectors of health delivery and education if nothing is done by stakeholders to find amicable solution to it. Right Reverend Aminu described the newly inducted Synod Moderator as a God-fearing servant, an experienced and hard-working pastor, and appealed to the presbytery to give him the necessary support to achieve his vision. Reverend Asase thanked God on his new appointment and pledged his commitment to serve with dedication and humility.
A news desk report. Ghana is set to produce quality products. However, poor packaging affects the competitiveness of the products locally and internationally. It is to address this problem that the Institute of Packaging Ghana has been training people already in the packaging business and newcomers since 2009. Speaking to Radio Ghana after the graduation ceremony in Accra, the Director of Studies at the Institute, Thomas Kwesi-Abebio, said the future of the packaging sector in Ghana is bright. He spoke to Seth Aya.
The state of packaging in Ghana within the range of poor, fair and good, we'll say fair. Fair in the sense that the Institute of Packaging has put in a lot of education the past 8 years, and people are getting aware of effective packaging. And I use the word effective packaging because the realization is coming that effective packaging will sell more than it costs. And so through the export school, through our training, through training of SMEs, we've educated a lot of people that when they enhance their packaging, they gain more than the cost of their packaging.
Are you looking at training those already into packaging or people who have no knowledge when it comes to packaging?
Everybody, one way or the other, come into interaction with packaging. Effective packaging is where we want to push into, so that a person will be aware that, yes, I can move on to do something to preserve the value of my product. What we are pushing down is more to do with effective packaging. And effective packaging is ongoing, expansional. So you start with somebody who doesn't know packaging, but the person has to go on and on and on and learn new ways of preserving, presenting, and containing whichever enterprise that is in.
And how is the education catching up?
It's been a bit slow. Slow in the sense that you realize that our country is becoming demand-driven. And now most people are looking at the MBAs and things. Those are the things that the educational system is enhancing now, and people are looking at that direction. So we started some collaboration with some of the institutions so that they will run packaging. Currently, with the Institute School, we've had some few people who are out there, and if they are able to impact their industry, then we have the success story to show everybody that something is going on, then people will catch on.
So far, how many people have you trained?
When you talk about training, so far we've trained a lot of people. With the school, 3 years down the line, we've had the first year we had 7, second year we have 8, currently we have 10 students. So if you add together, that's about 25. Last year we had a major training for 50 SMEs.
What is the future of packaging in Ghana?
I think there's a major demand. So packaging is right for our nation.
Director of Studies at the Institute of Packaging Ghana, Thomas Kwesi Abebe, talking to Sefeya. On the foreign front, Pope Benedict has met Cuban President Raul Castro on the second day of his visit to the island. There have been suggestions that he could also meet Raul's brother, former President Fidel Castro. After arriving in Havana, the Pope prayed before a statue of the country speech on Saint and told the crowd he prayed for Cuba advancing along the ways of renewal and hope. Marino Morillo, one of Castro's vice presidents and the economics senator in charge of liberalization, told journalists that the government was updating the Cuban economic model to make socialism sustainable. The Pope's visit marks the 400th anniversary of the discovery of the statue of the Virgin of Charity of El Cobre, also known as Mambisa Virgin. To end the news, the main points again. President Mills returned home last night after attending an extraordinary session of the heads of state and government of ECOWAS in Abidjan, where members are said to have condemned the coup in Mali and described it as unacceptable. Meanwhile, ECOWAS has suspended Mali following last week's coup. Curfew has been imposed on Patinga in Yendi following the arrest of the regent of the Abudu Gate, Bonlana Mahmadu Abdullahi. This was in connection with the enskillment of chiefs, which generated a misunderstanding between the Andanis and Abudu. And Pope Benedict has met Cuban President Raul Castro on the second day of his visit to the island. There have been suggestions that he could also meet Raul's brother, former President Fidel Castro. The news was presented by Abraham Donko in Accra.